Welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast with Jessica and Kristen.
Hey everyone, this is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with Jessica.
Hello everybody.
And we have a very special guest for the podcast tonight. It's Danny Thompson, drummer of Face to Face.
Hello.
Thank you.
How's everybody?
Everybody's good. We're actually sitting in my car trying to do this interview because there's nowhere else around here. Somerville, do you know Somerville?
No.
Somerville is, we call it Slummerville.
Gotcha.
Because it's the bad suburb of Boston,
gotcha.
I would say.
It's like Garbage Grove in California.
Okay.
Instead of Garden Grove, we call it Garbage Grove.
Yeah. I love this venue. We're at Once Ballroom. Face to Face is playing at Once Ballroom tonight in Somerville, which is right outside of Boston. And
it kind of looks like a place you would go for a bar mitzvah.
Right? Yeah, it is.
Really,
it's
a, like
it's an actual ballroom.
Yeah, not a rock show.
The best part was I was spying on you guys from up above. So there's like the venue, the floor and the stage, and then up above there's a bar that's kind of like 70s vibe. Did you go up there?
Mm-mm.
It's like, it's sweet actually. It's like 70s kind of porno style up there. And
oh, I want to go.
Now I'm going for sure.
Yeah, you should. It's awesome. There's a corner for Lemmy, like to pay homage to him.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I would just also like to point out to listeners that I am not in the car with you guys.
I know. I wish you were.
I'm on my bed.
Very far away.
Very far away.
From us.
Did you see somebody today was like, take Kristen's extra ticket. I was like, yeah, and $1,000 plane ticket.
I know, that stinks.
The venue sounds cool.
It's actually a really cool venue. I don't know how you guys feel, but
seems pretty decent so far.
Yeah. But it's outside of Boston in Slummerville, which isn't good.
So is the acoustic show in the same place where your regular set's going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, we just finished the acoustic set, and we do it like that every night. So, excuse me, we set up a table and some chairs for the meet and greet, and we just kind of do that on the floor, and people come through, and we sign their collectible flexi disc and poster and anything else that they might have. And then they come back through the line, and we do pictures with them. And then as soon as the last person's done, we just go right on stage and do the acoustic set. And then it's really easy. We get done with that. We just move a couple things off, and then the first opening band can basically get up there and get rolling pretty quick.
Someone who went to a show last week, they said that going from, it was Fresa, it was one of the California shows. Where was it? San Diego? Is that where you guys were?
Yep.
And she said, like, the intensity.
San Diego.
Yes.
Whale's vagina.
Going from like crazy acoustic mellow, like this intense, you know, soulful vibe, and then like right into this hardcore punk rock show. She said it was crazy.
Yeah, it's been super fun. I mean, we always have an opening band, so we go away for a little while, and there's a little bit of time before the regular show comes back in. So, you know, people who didn't pay for the VIP experience, as we're calling it, can come on in. But I think it's really cool. Some of the songs, I mean, some of them are really fun acoustic. Like, and it's interesting to hear the songs that way and, like, hear Trevor's voice, you know, a little more open and, you know, with not quite so much chaos going on. And some of the songs are almost better acoustic, I think. And we're sort of finding, like, a couple of them that it's like, this is really cool, like this, you know? So it's really fun. I enjoy it. I don't really have to do much. I just play some shakers and stuff.
And this is the first time Face to Face has done this? Like an acoustic set along on a tour?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know. The guys, you know, Trevor and Scott did Ignorance is Bliss acoustic a few years ago. And they did kind of a pretty extensive U.S. tour doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think it's the first time.
So one of our questions was, how did you decide which percussion instruments to bring with you? And
it was total winging. Just winging it. I went and bought like a couple shakers like the day before we left. We never rehearsed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the first show was really just figuring out and like what to do with, you know, shakers and stuff. And then we went to Guitar Center one day because for whatever reason on this tour, I've been breaking cymbals left and right. So we were using Bad Cop's equipment, and I broke two of their cymbals in 2 days. Yeah. So that was a bummer.
So we went
to Guitar Center, and then I picked out more percussion stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is just like everything we do, it's like now we're like, oh, I should get this, and maybe I'll buy this thing. And like probably on the week that we're off before we head back out in June, I'll probably buy a bunch of crap that I'll never use again.
What are the options for
I'm using a thing called a mini cajon, which you can get these cool sounds out of. It's almost like a bongo drum and stuff like that. And it's a real small one. They make like a full-size version, and some of them have microphones in them. You can create all these different types of sounds. So you can almost create like a bass drum sound and a snare drum sound and these different things with the percussion. So I'm just doing stuff like that. Different types of shakers have different tonal qualities. So some are real light, and I'll do the light one during the verse and then use heavier stuff during the choruses to give it a lift, just like you would, you know, playing the drums. So I don't know. Other than that, I mean, I'm not really a percussion player, and it's a totally different thing. Just because you can play drums doesn't mean you can do percussion good. Right. It's a whole separate thing, and it's shockingly difficult to play a shaker very well. It is. To do it in time and have it sound good is really hard.
Well, and like watching you do it, it's not like you're just doing it for a couple of seconds. You have to keep that through the whole entire song.
Yeah, in most cases.
In most cases. What song do you love playing acoustic?
Keep a Chin Up.
What's one of your favorites?
Keep Your Chin Up off of Protection is really good acoustic. Like, maybe better than the record. I like that. I like All for Nothing, although that's one of my favorite songs to play as a full band as well. But I think I'm pushing Trevor really hard to give that song it's what I think, you know, totally my opinion, is this acoustic rendition of that song, like to get that out there, kind of to give that song its due.
Because
I think that's
it was so good.
The song that just never got out there enough is, and we're playing it acoustic. That one people sing along with almost as much as any other song, more than most of the songs, you know. So it's really fun. We're enjoying it.
How was the turnout tonight compared to California?
The VIP thing is kind of up and down. Tonight was about 50, and that's what it's been most places. And it's fun at 50. Mm-hmm. San Diego was 100 people, and it took forever to go through the line of signing stuff and then doing the pictures. It was like 2 hours of standing there doing that. It was just too long. It was long for us, and I think it was long for the people standing in the line, too.
Yeah, of course. Was there anything weird you were asked to sign?
Not really. Just the standard stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything interesting we signed. Just lots of records and the flexi discs and t-shirts and, you know, no body parts or anything.
Does anybody, like, has any fan shown up thus far with, like, stacks and stacks of stuff
to get signed? No. I think everybody is, you know, I mean, somebody brought, like, 4 records or something, you know.
That was the
like
most.
Some of the like the reissue package, you know. I think somebody brought that, but that's fine. It goes fast.
That's cool. Any weirdos? I feel like there'd be weirdos.
Of course. There's always.
I feel like I've been that weirdo.
You know what? Actually, for the VIP thing, everybody's been really nice and cool, and no punishers. I can't think of a single punisher.
Wait, what's a punisher?
A punisher is what we call somebody that, you know, just invades your space 24/7. They start off, you know, as just a fan, and you're like, hi, how's it going? You're nice to meet you. And then after that, they're like 2 inches away talking in your face, and they won't stop
like
for hours. And then you go outside, and then they're like, can I come on the tour bus and let me get you guys, let's go to dinner together. And like, you're like, we just met you and we're not going to go to dinner. And you know, it's a punisher.
Got
That's
it.
A punisher.
Yeah.
I would definitely.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. They've always, I think when I got in the band 10 years ago, they already, I heard the term from them.
Every band has to have a version of that.
Oh yeah. Every band
so it's
has
not
punishers.
A communal band thing.
No, I think probably I don't know. When you say it to people, usually doesn't require any explanation.
I have people in my day-to-day life that qualifies those, yeah, and I'm not in a band.
You have customer. I have customers at my music school that are total punishers.
Yeah.
That's funny. I just want to point out, I know that people can't see this, but to me, what I'm looking at right now, it looks like you guys are both looking at yourselves in the rearview mirror.
What?
Like, it looks like you're both just sitting there looking at your own self in the rearview mirror.
Gotcha.
Huh.
It's pretty close.
You're not looking at anything. Can you guys see me?
Like, yeah, we're looking at you.
We're looking at you on the phone. You're wearing you're wearing a blue negligee top.
Yeah. You're not wearing any top, actually.
It's my special, I got face-to-face screen printed on the back of the negligee.
Nice.
<Just kidding.
laughs> You punisher.
I'm a punisher.
That's definitely not punishing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. So
you got here today from New York. So what time did you guys leave New York?
10 a.m.
And it took you until that long to get here?
5 o'clock to get here.
Holy shit. Usually it's like 4 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been it might have been 10:30 when we left, but it was horrible traffic.
Who's driving you guys?
Tour manager Mike.
Okay.
He did most of it. Trevor drove a little bit today.
And then you stay in a hotel tonight?
Yeah. Don't know where, but...
Do you guys have to share rooms?
Yep. We are sharing rooms for this tour.
Do you draw straws who has to stay with each other?
No, we usually mix it up after a while, though.
So you do a few days?
Yeah. Scott and I have been rooming together.
Does anyone snore?
Everybody. Scott doesn't. Trevor does. Mike, the tour manager, does. Dennis does. I do. Scott doesn't, so, you know, he doesn't. Scott doesn't sleep, as far as I can tell, though. He just never can sleep. He can't fall asleep.
Then
he wakes up early, and it just doesn't matter if he's in his own room in the pitch dark and super quiet, or if he's in a room with five people snoring. It doesn't seem to matter. He doesn't sleep very well.
Oh, that's awful.
So I try to be quiet and, you know, respectful, so he can get some rest, but it doesn't seem like he sleeps well.
Wow.
Which is a bummer. Yeah, you know.
But he also never seems tired.
No, he's got boundless energy for an old man.
I was laughing earlier. Tell me the name of the instrument that you mentioned, the percussion one.
Cajon.
Cajones.
Cajon.
It sounds like cajoni. Cajones?
Cajon,
like you've got big cajones?
Yeah, it's not the same. I mean, it is an instrument. I don't know where it originated from. It's South American. They started off as the wooden crates from like oranges and produce. So they would turn it on the side and you sit on it, the full size one, you sit on it and then play on it. So that's where it originated from. I don't really know why they call it that exactly. There's a thing, like I can tell you where to go though, to check it out.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
G-O-O. G L
E. I hate you.
We can use the Google machine and find out everything we need to know.
Throw that up in the Google.
Cajon. Nah.
Yeah, but
it's C A J O N.
Oh, see, we wouldn't have known that. C A J O N.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you spell the balls version?
I have no idea.
C A H O N. Yep.
Google
Will know.
So you guys go to New Jersey tomorrow night?
Yeah.
And then Washington, D.C.?
Yep.
And...
Are you guys going to Chicago?
At the end of June. The end of the tour in June, which would be like June 10th, I think we play there. 9th or 10th we play in Chicago.
We
do two nights in Chicago. We do suburban Chicago in Lombard, which is actually where I grew up. I grew up most of my childhood in the next town over, but my family's first house that my parents bought was in Lombard. So it's kind of cool. The venue's like three blocks away from where I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And then we play Chicago proper the next day.
Do you have family and friends that come to those shows?
My brother lives pretty close to there, and my mom's a few hours away, so she's driving in. So, and I'm going to stay a couple days extra.
She is driving in?
Yeah. Gonna hang out with the family.
Will she go to the show?
Oh, yeah.
How old is she?
82.
What?
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. She's really...
Did you know that Kristen and I are going to Chicago this summer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
We're going to see you guys at 350 Fest.
Oh, yeah. That's like a couple weeks after.
Mm-hmm. So I'm...
Yeah, that's Tinley Park. That's kind of like a South Chicago suburb.
So, Chris, I'm flying to Boston, and Kristen and I are driving from Boston to Chicago together, and then we're staying in Chicago to go to the festival.
Cool. Do you know, have you guys booked hotel and everything yet?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah. Talk to me about that so I can kind of help guide you to like a cool neighborhood
to live in.
Yeah, because
it's in a...
Well, the venue is, like I said, it's a south suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
So there's not really going to be anything.
But we want someplace we can walk to or maybe Uber easily because we'll be drinking.
Yeah. That's going to limit you a little bit.
It is. Okay.
Because I would tell you to, like, stay more downtown so you can enjoy the city a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be there for a couple of days. So,
we'll do maybe do one night near the concert area.
Yeah.
And then do a night or two in Wrigleyville or something like that.
What's something in Chicago we have to do?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know. I think you should just get out. I mean, Navy Pier is cool. It's kind of touristy now. Just see the city, do the, you know, go up and down Michigan Avenue, the Miracle Mile, maybe take a boat ride on the Chicago River. The architecture's amazing.
That's one thing that I would love to do.
You know, it'll be summer, it'll be nice out. You could do like a nighttime boat river cruise kind of thing would be really cool, probably. You should eat a Italian beef sandwich.
Italian beef sandwich? What is that?
Well, you'll have to find out.
But is it like steak and cheese?
It's kind of similar. Similar, yeah. It's amazing. So Chicago's known for Italian beef. You can get the best hot dog in the world in Chicago for sure.
At a certain place?
I did know that.
There's a bunch of places you can go and just get. Anywhere you go in Chicago, you'll have amazing culinary experiences. There's more Michelin-rated restaurants in Chicago than any city in the world now.
And Jessica and I both love to eat.
Yeah. We do.
Go to Lou Malnati's for some pizza over there by Lou Malnati's.
Oh, we're totally going to be hitting you up.
I'll give you a rundown of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, you're going to be there at the same time.
Yeah. But then I'm going to go home and not want to do anything.
We just became your punisher.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for inviting us around Chicago. That's awesome.
Thanks, Daddy.
I'm going to be out in... My brother lives in Crystal Lake, which is pretty far outside of the city, so I'm going to be sitting there doing nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out with my mom.
Well, would mom come to... Like, will your mom and brother be at 350?
She probably will not. My brother might.
No.
Yeah, my brother might come. I forgot we were even playing that, so...
It's actually not listed anywhere yet. Like, if you look on the tour or online, it's not there.
Okay.
It's like just 350 Fest is saying you guys are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to happen.
I think I saw it on our schedule, so, yeah.
Any other festivals coming up that you guys are playing?
Not really.
All over Europe.
Yeah, later in the summer. I mean, so we're doing this stuff. We go home for a week at the end of May here and then go back out in June and do more of these Econo Live shows. Mm-hmm. And then we have about 3 or 4 weeks off. And then July we go to Europe and we're over there for 5 weeks, I think. So that's probably, 80% of those shows are festivals, I think. So we're going everywhere over there, all kind of crazy places.
Places you haven't been before?
Slovenia. Never been there.
Mm.
Had to look it up.
Mm-hmm. Cool. There's a fan on the fan club, and he's been messaging me about that specific festival, and I think it's like it's on the water somewhere, and it's a camping festival and
camping.
He sent me a bunch of videos about it and stuff.
Most of the European festivals people camp.
Yeah,
at the
festival grounds. There's big. Open area, and it'll just be
like tents, Woodstock style
tents as far as you can see.
That would be awesome.
And it rains all the time. And you have to have your mud boots, and it looks miserable to me.
Oh yeah,
it looks horrid.
I would never leave my tent.
It just looks miserable.
I would stay in my tent the whole time.
Everybody looks dirty and muddy and uncomfortable. That's what I think when I see the fans that have been there for 3 or 4 days. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
But in Europe, that's just what they do. They love it.
There are certain things that I will pay more money for, and that is a shorter distance
and
to get
hotel.
Somewhere, like not a layover.
Yeah.
And an easily accessible bathroom I will pay more money for.
Yep.
And like safe bedding.
Safe like bedding?
I feel safe inside the bed that I'm sleeping in.
Safe lodging more? Like,
no.
I mean, camping is nice. I don't want to do it in a field with 10,000 concert goers, you know?
Yeah. No, people are probably puking camping. And peeing.
Oh, it just sounds horrible.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Disgusting. Ugh. It's dirt. It just looks dirty. That's all.
Well, 350 Fest will actually be both of our first festival, right? Jess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first festival, like, other than...
Kind of.
Like Warped Tour or something.
Yeah.
The Slovenia thing, though, I did look it up, and it looks really pretty around there. Like, the country looks gorgeous. So,
yeah, is that the only place in Europe that you're going that you have been?
I think so, yeah. Everywhere else, I think we've been. But we're, you
how
know,
much do you really get to explore, though?
Pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
You're really selling the tour life.
Well, I mean, you always get to see something, and it's still interesting and fun and stuff. And some days you have more time than others, and you get to... You know, it's surprising, though, like, sometimes even just having 3 or 4 hours to just, like, walk around some cool European square, you know, that's got cool architecture, and sitting down and having a coffee with the locals around, and just, like, it, you know, it's sometimes, like, just doing that for a couple hours, you feel like you got a good, you know, taste of the experience, at least. So.
Yeah, a good sense of it.
Yeah.
And you like traveling. You travel, like, well... You go to Hawaii a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I like traveling in the band a lot. It's a cool way to see places. I think the older I get, the more it's a little harder to leave home. You know, I think that's just part of getting older is I think you just like being at home more and being a little bit more of a homebody. It's a double-edged sword because I was really itching to get out here and get this thing started. You know, but I think all of us get tired quicker and kind of want to...
Ready to go home.
Get ready to go home a little. But the way this is broken up, it's great. I mean, we did those first 5 shows and then we were, you know, was home for a day or two. So even just that day or two at home was really nice. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, this will go really fast and then we'll be home for a week and then go back out for a couple weeks. And it goes pretty fast.
It breaks it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it like that.
Who was it that we were talking to, Kristen, and they had mentioned, maybe it was...
The two-week policy?
Yeah, the two-week policy.
Nicola of Melancholin said they have a two-week policy. They'll only be on the road, but they all have, like, young kids and stuff like that, so they don't want to be gone for more than 2 weeks, which makes sense.
Yeah, so I see that.
Like,
I mean,
personal band rule. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks goes pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially... Like, if you're doing a U.S., like, summertime tour, 2 weeks, it's like, feels like you've hardly even gotten started.
Really?
Do you feel like with this acoustic stuff, since you guys, it sounds like you're kind of learning as you're going and practicing, do you feel like it's getting better?
It's pretty,
you guys are going to perfect
it. You know,
it,
I mean, the guys had gotten together and practiced.
Oh, okay.
They all got together with Dennis one day. Something was going on and I couldn't do it. So they kind of already had it worked out, and Scott and Trevor had done, you know, some acoustic stuff. So it didn't take much. I mean, it's getting, you know, it's always getting better and better, but it's pretty dialed by now. Did you watch the Paste?
Yeah.
Thing?
I thought we both watched that.
Sounded pretty good, and was really
cool.
Fun.
It was awesome.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. It's harder to... It seems like it would be harder to hide mistakes in an acoustic set.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? I'm not a musician. I just totally pulled that out of my ass.
No, for probably... Pretty much, yeah.
No one notices, though. No one cares or notices.
It's funny because, like, even on the Paste thing, we made some mistakes, and, like, while we're doing it, you're like, oh, my God, that's going to be, like, so glaring. And then when you listen back, it's kind of... You notice it, but it goes by... It just goes by really fast.
Yeah. You know. Well, we were laughing, though.
Do you guys listen back to stuff like that?
It just all depends. You know, there's, like, the minute we did the first acoustic show, by the time we, like, got done and, you know, got a drink of water, there was already, you know, posts on Facebook and stuff that, you know how people are now. It's like they just video the whole show that they go to and don't even watch it hardly themselves. So, you know, those kind of things, like, that people shoot crappy video of, we just, you know, maybe watch a couple seconds and that's it. The Pace thing we all watched. Because mm-hmm. it was recorded really well, and it looked cool. They did the lighting really. I really liked the setup they had. I thought it was just super cool.
All those books are awesome. Are those all particular books?
Those are all master tapes recordings.
Oh, they were?
Those were like reel-to-reel recordings in their boxes behind us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They had a crazy collection. I don't know where they got all that.
I took a bunch of screenshots of that recording and then edited the pictures, and I emailed them to Scott.
I think I saw some of those.
Just because that made me sound like a stalker. But the backdrop was super cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been an amazing photography setup, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So. Yeah, it gave me... It kind of re-inspired me on... I've had this idea for a long time, but at the music school, one of the projects I want to do is I want to do a thing called Almost Live from the Music Factory. Kind of like Live at Daryl's House, if you've ever seen Daryl Hall's show. Mm-hmm. So, like a scaled down, simpler version of that. But we do it with like local artists around the, you know, Orange County. So they would come to this area in the school. We do like a 3-camera shoot. We record it. I interview them. We play 2 or 3 of their songs. And I have, you know, myself or other teachers from the school kind of sit in as the background musicians as a way to feature like local, you know, local bands and artists, and do it as an acoustic thing like that, mm-hmm. and turn that into the, just like a YouTube show.
So that's awesome.
I think that's going to be fun.
That's a super cool idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Do you know Live from the Rock Room?
Mm-mm.
Live from the Rock Room does all kinds of bands. And
In Chicago?
Yeah. And I only found out about it through Lights Over Bridgeport, and then... Western Settings was on there recently, and Bad Cop, Bad Cop, but it's the same sort of thing. Like, they go in, they play 2 songs, they record it in this really cool setting, and then it's broadcast.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a neat way to... Fans love it.
Hmm? Can you just wrap it up?
I don't know. What time is it?
I was trying to be sly, but it didn't work.
No, I'll tell you. If I gotta go, I'll get a text from Mike.
Okay.
I think we're pretty good, though. It's like, it's not even 9 yet, right?
Yeah.
No, we're fine.
Okay.
I think we played 10 or something.
We're in between the acoustic set and the actual show, so that's
yeah, I think the opening band is going on now, maybe. Oh, okay. Or getting ready to.
Who's the opening band tonight? Does anybody know?
Tonight is, well, they're doing like 4 shows with us. It's Lost in Society.
Oh.
Don't know.
I'm going to find Google.
Yeah, G O O.
They're from, I believe they're from New Jersey.
Okay. How was it doing the shows? I mean, I know the answer to this because Bad Cop, Bad Cop, pretty much like went mushy all over social media about you
they
guys.
They did. That was so cute.
I couldn't have been happier to see 2 of my, you know, my favorites coming together like that. But how was it touring with those girls? Because we're big fans.
Yeah, very good. I wish they could do the whole thing with us. I think it would have been amazing.
Really?
They're really good live. They're really easy to get along with. They're awesome.
And that's what makes a good band, like, a good opening band for you guys to kind of travel the road with? Those are...
Well, yeah. I mean, them being a good band with good songs and something we like is certainly the most important thing, I guess. But definitely, yeah, being easy to get along with and easy to work with and all that kind of stuff is huge. Because, an opening band can, you know. And it's a weird thing because when I played most of my life, I was in the opening bands, you know, and played crappy shows. And I just was always very respectful of the headlining band. I would never just walk into their green room and start drinking their beer and stuff like that. And it's surprising how many bands, like, they come to the show and it's just like they, you know, they just own the place. You know, you go in your dressing room and it's like, oh, my, you know, water I wanted or my Coke Zero. I asked for somebody to go by that would be waiting for me.
Yeah.
And it sounds douchey to say that, but when you're traveling all the time, it's like sometimes it's those little things that kind of, you know, make you feel comfortable or, you know.
Well, and get out organized.
And you're tired. I mean, it's like, you know. You know, we played last night. You know, it was 2 or 3 when we went to sleep. And we were on the road by 10 and drove all freaking day. Got here, loaded in, did sound check. Took 5 minutes to eat and did the meet and greet and the acoustic show. So this time right now is the only break we have. And then we go in and play the full set, and it'll be midnight, you know, and you do it all again. Yeah. So it's tiring for sure. And it's, you know, so it's nice to have, like, those little creature comforts that you might want. It's nice to have that, and it's you know. So that would be my only advice ever to any, like, opening bands and stuff is, you know, just being, I think most bands are going to be cool to you and give you stuff and invite you into the green room or whatever. But I think you should, you know, be cognizant of being, you know, being mm-hmm. cool about those kind of things.
That's a general, like...
I always, like, you know, would poke my head in the door and knock on the door and, you know, hey, guys, how's it going, you know, and wait for them to be like, hey, come on in or whatever. And I don't even care about that, but just, you know, it's like people just storm into the dressing room and then all of a sudden there's not a beer left for you after the show.
Yeah.
It happens pretty much every night.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
To think about. Huh.
About.
About.
Did I say it?
You do say it. Yeah, I was listening back to one of our episodes and I was like, you say a boot.
Fuck.
It's cute, well, though.
The podcast, we recorded a podcast a couple weeks ago, Danny, with our first Canadian guest. And they're from Alberta, which is the province over from mine. And they, to me, they sounded like super strong Canadian accent. So I'm curious if that's how people hear me.
No. It's only once in a while.
Okay. Not that I'm trying to hide it. It's just that...
When you're talking about your Kraft dinner.
Yeah. When you talk about Kraft dinner and Caesars, then...
As well as
and
the
ketchup
fact
chips.
That I put ketchup on my Kraft dinner.
Yeah. Mm. It's gross.
Interesting.
Yeah. You should see her. I saw her like squeezing it all over.
How many podcasts have you guys done?
We've released 12 episodes.
Oh, okay.
And we have like 6 in the bank.
And we have 6 in the bag recorded.
Awesome.
This would be our 7th that we have in the bag recorded waiting to release.
That's great. So you guys are staying really active with it. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we have two more scheduled to be recorded in the next month.
Nice.
So it feels really good to have them like recorded and ready to go, so we're not just like so pressured to come up with something to release, because we had a bit of that for a while. And the past few weeks it's felt really good just going.
Oh, you know what? So I have a question for Danny. So. One of the things I've been struggling with is bands have offered to be a guest on our podcast and then just kind of like this, you know, they take a little bit of time out if I'm meeting them in Boston for a show. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad, like, taking their time. So I always kind of cut it short. And then they're like, that wasn't a podcast. That was an interview.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like I want to be really respectful and cognizant of people's time, but also, like, I guess if they're expecting a podcast, they're expecting a certain amount of time.
Well, I mean, it can be all over the map, and there's no rules to it. A podcast could be, there's some that I listen to that there might be an episode 1 week that's 10 minutes long, and then the next week it's an hour and a half, you know, so 30 minutes or an hour. I mean, you know, an hour might be difficult when you're going out and hitting up bands that are on tour.
On the road.
Because the time, they might have such limited time. So I would say it's better to try to do podcast episodes with band members when they can do it maybe more just over the phone or whatever, and they can do it from their house, and they can just...
And you know what I just thought that's so fucking and obvious?
Chill,
I should just,
you know,
ask before, how much time do you have?
That'd probably be good.
The funny thing is, too, is that Kristen and I, as we've, you know, worked out so many kinks over the last however many months, and we're getting better and better at, I mean, I think we are, I don't know, our 10 listeners might not agree, but is that we're very polar opposite for everything. Like, I will talk with a guest and probably for 3 hours if she let me, but we've had to come up with like sick signals because we're in different time zones for her to tell me to shut the fuck up. Basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think the thing that you have going for you and is that bands are, you know, they're realizing more and more, just like other businesses and companies are, that digital content is what they have to do. And, you know, me, like as a business owner myself, I send notes to business podcasts saying, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I've been a guest on other podcasts. I'll be a great guest on your show. Mm. Let me talk about this business idea on your show. And they're all struggling to find enough guests. So right. It's surprising, like,
you know, I bet they all say yes.
They'll write you back and be like, yeah, we'd love to have you on. And so it's just, I think bands more and more and more are going to realize that it's something that they should be wanting to do. So as you guys build it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes something that more and more people know about, then they're going to want to spend that time and want to be on the show. And or it'll really be their management contacting them going, you know, their publicist will be contacting mm-hmm. them saying, you got to set this hour aside because you're going to do this show.
Yeah. We are being interviewed for the first time on a podcast.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can't go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong there.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, you know, there is nothing to go wrong.
They're the Canadians, so.
So they're really nice.
So I got it.
Yeah, you got it dialed in. And I do want to say one of the reasons we're. What's that?
Well, I was just going to say about them being Canadian is that they were two guys and they were just like super unsure of how to behave. That's the thing, too. A lot of guys don't know how to behave around us. And then we talk about Red Tube or a massage parlor, you know, porno or something horrible like
that's
that.
Jokes.
And they're like, oh, that's cool. Okay, we can talk about anything here.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say one of the reasons we're talking about podcasting with Danny so much is because he was the one that first inspired us to do this. Jess, yeah, do you want to talk about that? Yeah, it wasn't something on our radar at all.
To me, it seems like it's already, like, it's been around so long that I'm concerned that it's going to go away and the next big thing's going to happen. But mm-hmm. I talk to people all the time that really don't listen to podcasts or have never thought about putting one together. So I'm still working on a couple things. I have a couple episodes in the can for a business podcast that I'm doing called Punk Rock Business School. Mm. And then I still have the one other one, Glimpse, that I'm trying to get some episodes done and get that out. What I'm working on, and my newest little idea regarding podcasting, is to put like a media company together where basically I'm producing podcasts with other people. So there might be a whole bunch of podcasts under an umbrella company. So that I'm doing marketing for those podcasts that I'm producing, you know, and helping almost like a record label would help like a new band or somebody that hasn't even thought about doing a podcast, become a podcaster and monetize it and turn it into something.
Awesome.
So I've got a couple ideas and a couple people that I've been talking to on some stuff like that. So I love it. I listen to them all the time. It's so cool.
I listen to them all the time now, too. I had a couple that I listened to before, but now that we do one, I listen mm-hmm. to a ton of them so that I can try and, like, hear what other people are doing and how they work things and that sort of thing. And you kind of get hooked on a few of them
yeah.
and really interested. But when you brought the idea, like, last, I don't know, I think it was November, maybe, to us,
mm-hmm.
about, hey, you should do a podcast and... I remember going to Kristen the next day and being like, guess what Danny said? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know. And then we both, you know, we kind of didn't really know what to do with it. And we just bought a whole bunch of equipment and just started doing it. And it seems like that was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big learning curve. There's a, like,
you, yeah.
there's a lot of things to iron out. And
yeah, so but you know,
you help us.
You just do it, though. That's the thing, is you're figuring it all out. And as you are listening to other people's podcasts, you've probably noticed like how different their first episode sounds to like yeah. if they're at 100 episodes, you're like, oh my God, I went back and listened to the first one and it was horrible, you know. And
I often do that first,
like very like popular, yeah, very popular ones. Even if you listen to them, some of their first ones are sucky, But that's the thing about it is there's ones I listen to and some are very low production, but they're still great, you know, and other ones are all slick production. It doesn't matter if the, you know, if the information and the people on the, you know, on the episode are interesting, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be cool and people are going to want to listen to it. And how are you finding it received? How is the podcast being received?
We have a few pretty loyal followers that listen to every episode. And the only way we know that they're not lying is because they will review every single part of it to us, which is great. Like, it's feedback for us. And they're pretty honest.
Well, we were surprised, though, the other day when we looked at YouTube, because we do a couple of the video ones, and it had 1,600 views. And we were like, what?
But that? I was blown away that anybody had looked at it.
Yeah.
Where, the other thing, like, where are you hosting the podcast on?
SoundCloud. And then it's on iTunes.
Okay. Does SoundCloud give you stats and stuff?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So in a week, we have a few hundred, I would say.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good start for just getting it going, you know?
And, like, some of the analytics that, like, we realized that, like, 90% of our listeners are male.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's punk rock.
Which is kind of funny, considering what we're trying to do in a way. But, and then it picks out, like, a few areas where it tells you, like, we had a lot of promotion. Where was that one place? There was one place in the States where, like, who do we know in Pittsburgh or something?
Yeah.
And we have, like, a very loyal listener in Pittsburgh.
That's cool. Are you? Is it funny when you look and they're like, oh, somebody in Russia downloaded the podcast. Yeah. How cool is that? It's fun. I mean, think about it. That's what's so cool about the medium is that anybody can do it. Tomorrow, anybody can just turn on a little recorder and record themselves ranting about whatever and make a name for the show and put it up. And, like, somebody across the world is going to find it and download it, you know? Mm. It's a really cool thing. We should chat about some promotional ideas and stuff for you guys.
We haven't done any of that.
You know, to get, that would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, people have to know that you're doing it and know that it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true.
Well, I just wanted to recognize, too, because sometimes people will kind of say an offhand thing and not really expect it to inspire somebody so much. So, like, I know I'm, like, the lovey-dovey one of the group, but just say, you know, just sometimes someone says something and they don't even realize how inspiring they're being. And so just the fact that you just kind of said that to Jessica offhand and then we've taken it and ran with it and are really, really enjoying it, it means a lot to me. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you guys are sticking with it. It's awesome.
Well, the first couple weeks into it, me and her were going, Dan Thompson said this was going to be easy, and this was not fucking easy.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have the challenge of that. You have two hosts.
Yeah.
You know, where most shows, a lot of times it's one host. Or if you guys lived in the same town, doing the two host thing would be so easy for you.
Or the same country.
Like, go to one person's house. But you're, you know, all the way across the continent. And, you know, that makes it tougher in the time zones and delays and all the kind of weird stuff that happens. So you had a little bit more technical challenges than some other people might getting it started. And, you know, and neither one of you really came from that kind of background. Mm-hmm. So when I say it's easy, I mean, I have an audio engineering kind of background and a music background. So going, oh, just hook up these mics and then download it over here and do this. And that's like, it's, that stuff easy. Just is easy for me. But now that you've done it, you guys, you're probably figuring out, oh, this works easier to do it like this. And I like the way that sounded and don't do this. And you're going to be telling other people how to do it soon.
Oh. We lost Jessica.
Connection
lost.
And just as I say that, the whole thing crashes.
I know. We were doing so well for the first time. This is like our fourth interview with Danny, by the way.
Okay, so I'm gone? I think I'm gone.
No, you're here.
No, we got you.
Oh, I'm here. You guys are confusing me. There's like a delay.
Yeah, we got you.
We were good for a while.
It looks like there's like police lights, but I think it's just people driving by you.
Yeah, it was a bunch of cars driving by.
Can you see anything?
Well, I wish I was going to be at the show tonight.
I know, I wish you were too. Here too.
Yeah, I told Trevor, I got a flexi disc signed for you, by the way. And I told Trevor, and he said, just tell Jessica to tell me whatever she wants. I'll send it to her.
He always says that, and I never take him up on it. Because I feel like then I would definitely be a punisher. So.
Nah. That wouldn't be punishing. I just want to tell... I just want to say to any face-to-face fans that are listening to this podcast that as soon as we're done with this podcast, mm-hmm. they have to go to iTunes and give you a nice review and rating of your show and leave a comment.
Ah, thank you.
Ah, Danny Thompson.
You know who gave us our first review was Jack. In the car. Jack gave us our first review.
Starts somewhere. It's got to start somewhere, right?
Starts with the face-to-face community.
Got to start somewhere. I sent a couple messages to friends, and I was like, "Hey, go on iTunes, do it." They're like, "How?" And Jack did give us our first review, and it was a good one. So thank
yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
And thanks for saying that, Danny.
No problem.
We never say that, should we?
Yes, we should. Every episode. Every yeah. episode.
Yeah.
Every episode. At the beginning of the episode and at the end of the episode. You know, it's just like you're doing a radio show. You got to get the business get it out of the way. You know, when you get a sponsor, you're going to have to throw that stuff in there. Like, this show is sponsored by Kraft Dinner.
We drink it every episode, and
that's good.
I was like, the brewery that's 5 minutes down my street, the local brewery, I was like, I should just hit them up and I'll advertise for them for free, and maybe yes. they'll give me a six pack for the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually, you should go line that whole thing up, because, you know, again, you know, it's easy for, you know, to give away some alcohol and get a plug.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Even a six pack is winning. That's what we say. Just getting a free six pack is winning.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Well, my family is calling my name.
Oh, bro.
I almost walked into the room like three times.
Yeah, Danny has to get to the show.
Yeah, I should probably get rolling and get warmed up. And
thank you so much for taking this time with us.
I'm glad we've got a chance to hang out.
Finally.
And do this.
Yeah. You guys have an amazing time tonight. Danny, have a great show.
Thank you. We'll be thinking about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be watching somehow on somebody's feed.
I'll do one show or one song. My rule is one song I will record for you. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Okay, you guys have an awesome night tonight.
All right. See ya. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
I made up 100 reasons. I have turned my back on everything I knew. I have justified my actions.
I've lost everything and still I've never given up until I either die or I